Joel chapter 19. We want again to turn to the words that we find in the verse 18 with reference to the Master being in the midst. Where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Last Sabbath morning, we looked particularly at the appearance of the man in the midst. How he appeared to be in the midst of the malefactors there on Calvary. Why did the Roman soldiers crucify Christ in the midst? Why would they nail crosses on either side of the center tree? We considered that matter last week, and we came up with the answers that they crucified the Lord in the midst because they saw him as the greater sinner. Wanted to focus attention on Christ. There were malefactors, thieves on either side of the Lord. But they nailed Christ in the midst because they regarded him as the greater sinner. They had all manner of evil to say about him, calling him, among other things, Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And so they regarded the center tree as his rightful place, since in their eyes he was the greater sinner that day. They also, I believe, nailed Christ to the center tree and had Jesus in the midst because they wanted to put him to a greater shame. He being in the midst, all eyes would be focused on him. All the abuse would be hurled at him. And so they wanted to put him to a greater shame. Nothing is said about the two thieves. Nothing is recorded about what was said to them or shouted at them. No, all was concentrated upon the one on the center tree. And so they nailed Christ to the center cross because they regarded him as a greater sinner. They wanted to put him to a greater shame. And they also wanted to make him the greater sufferer. The greater sufferer. Once again, being in the midst, all the abuse and insults were hurled at him. As was said, nothing was said to the thieves. But all the abuse and all the mockings fell upon Christ. And so that's what we concluded last week. And as we looked at the appearance of Christ, the Master being in the midst, today I want to consider the appropriateness of Jesus being in the midst. In the eyes of we as Christians, it was most appropriate that the Lord Jesus was nailed to the center tree. We've already seen why the sinners wanted the Lord to be in the midst. Now I want us to consider through our eyes, and through the eyes of believers and through the eyes of Christians, why it was appropriate for the Lord Jesus to be in the midst. The Lord Jesus, of course, knew what kind of death he would die. He knew that as the brazen serpent was fixed to a pole and lifted up in the wilderness in the midst of Israel when they had been bitten by the fiery serpents, the Lord Jesus, you recall, said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so the Lord Jesus knew that he would not be stoned to death as his own people in Nazareth intended for him, because they were ready to stone him or cast him down the hillside. Christ knew what way he would die, and that he would be lifted up from the earth. And as Moses carried the brazen serpent into the midst of the congregation of Israel, so Christ would be lifted up, and there he was, of all that was taking place there on Golgotha's brow. We say that it was appropriate for Jesus to be in the midst because, first of all, of his preeminence. What was the title that Pilate placed above the head of Christ there on the cross? We read in verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. There's his preeminence. Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. He's King. And isn't it only but right and appropriate that a king is found in the midst? When the wise men came from the east to worship him, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And it is appropriate then that such a king should be found in the midst. And to whom did Abraham give a tenth part of all? To whom did Abraham give his tithes? We're told in Hebrews 7 and 2, first being interpreted King of Righteousness, and after that also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Abraham gave his tithes to Christ, to Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a type of Jesus Christ. And he's called, Melchizedek is called the King of Righteousness. He's called the King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. So there cannot be any mistake that Jesus Christ is King. And is it not appropriate that such a king should be in the midst? That's the proper place for a king, that he takes center place in all that is done, and certainly ought to be in that place in our lives, in your life and mine. For he's king. Don't we often sing, King of my life, I crown thee now. But while we sing those words, is he king of our lives? Does he hold that central position in our lives? Is he upon his throne? That's where the king resides, isn't it? That's where the king sits. He sits upon his throne. And your heart and my heart is the throne upon which Christ should be seated. The Lord was in the midst there on Calvary. And what did John see when he wrote down all those revelations that he had of heaven while on the Isle of Patmos? We read in Revelation 17 and verse 14, "There shall make war with the Lamb," or "these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings." So it is appropriate then that the sacrificial lamb hanging there that day on the tree, the King of kings, should be on that center tree, should be in the midst because of who he is. Because he's King of kings. He deserves the central position. The King of glory, the King of kings, the King of Salem, the King of righteousness deserves that position. And so while the ungodly nail Christ to the center tree for the reasons we have outlined, we see that in our eyes it was most appropriate. Because Jesus Christ in heaven sits upon a throne. And when he came to earth and he went to Calvary, that cross was his throne. And it was only appropriate that in his earthly throne, namely the cross, that Jesus Christ should be in the midst. So he was in the midst because of his preeminence. It's only but right that he was there on the center tree. He was in the midst not only because of his preeminence, but it was appropriate that he was in the midst because of his prophecies. Throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, every book speaks about Christ. We know that from the Lord's own words. Because in Luke 24 and verse 25, he spoke to the Emmaus disciples, as they are known. "Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses," beginning at Genesis, "beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures." Have you got that? Genesis, prophets, all the scriptures. "He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And there we have from the Lord's own mouth that he is found in all the scriptures, Genesis through to Malachi. Now here we have the Holy Scriptures. Here we have the Word of God. And all the books of the Old Testament, all the scriptures of the Old Testament speak about Christ. They're all looking forward to Jesus Christ. They're all speaking about his coming and about the purpose of his coming. And so then, in the light of that, is it not appropriate, most appropriate, that the one of whom the Scripture spoke, that he should occupy that prominent place and be nailed there to the center cross as opposed to any of the others. He knew he was going to die on a cross. And it's most appropriate that the Lord Jesus was nailed to the center tree, since the scriptures spoke of him. And you think of the types and the shadows that there are in the Old Testament, all the slain animals and the sacrifices, all the blood that was shed, all the altars that were built, all the prophetic announcements, all spoke of Jesus Christ. So it's most appropriate then that the one who was spoken about and so many prophecies spoken regarding him, then it's appropriate that we find Jesus in the midst. The Old Testaments from Genesis to Malachi didn't speak about the thieves or about anybody else there that day at Calvary. They all spoke about Christ. It is appropriate then that the Lord Jesus, of whom so much was written, so much was promised, so much was claimed, so much was preached and so much was prophesied, that he should take that place of prominence and be in the center. Praise his name. He's in the center there at Calvary. And that is why we read the words where they crucified him and the two other with him, on either side one and Jesus in the midst. I believe that it was appropriate for another reason. I believe it was appropriate that the Lord was crucified on the center tree because of his purpose. Since the Lord Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, why then was he nailed to the center cross? We know why the sinful soldiers put him there. Why the Jews, why the chief priests and the officers of the Jews wanted him to be nailed to the center tree. We know all of that. They wanted to make him out to be the greatest sinner. They wanted to put him to a greater shame. They wanted him to suffer more than anybody else. That's why they wanted him there. But listen, Christ was without sin. There was no blemish in his character whatsoever. Even the Lord himself said, "The devil has nothing in me." And yet, where do we find him? We find him on the middle tree. Pilate had just examined him. And Pilate had said, "I find no fault in him." Herod said there was nothing in him worthy of death. Pilate's wife said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Judas Iscariot said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." The centurion at the cross said, "Surely this was the Son of God." And yet there we find him. He who is meek and lowly of heart, suffering a most horrendous death. As we noted this morning in our Bible class, Isaiah 53. and how the Lord Jesus was tormented. He who was meek and lowly was tormented there at Calvary. Yet he knew no sin. So why then was he nailed to the center tree? Because Jesus Christ had a purpose in being there. He who is sinless, meek, and lowly went about doing good. He was not crucified to the cross for any wrong that he had done. He was nailed to the center cross for what we had done. That was his purpose in coming. That was his purpose, that was the purpose behind his crucifixion, behind his sufferings, that was the purpose behind the shedding of his blood. For Paul said, "For he hath made him," that is the Father, "hath made Christ sin for us." He hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And there it is. There's the purpose. The purpose of Christ coming into the world was to be made sin for us. The one who knew no sin, the one whom he himself said he was meek and lowly of heart, he had come to be the sinner's substitute. He had come to die for his people. If he was coming to die, and die for his people, did he then not deserve center place? Did he not then deserve, if he was going to be nailed to a cross, then it must be the center cross, because of his purpose. Such a noble cause. Such a glorious purpose. Such an amazing deed. No greater love. Any man than this. That a man laid down his life for his friends. And the one who came to lay down his life for us always deserves to be in the midst. No matter where it is, no matter what it is, Jesus Christ always deserves to be Jesus in the midst. Such an honorable deed. Such a holy deed, such a selfless deed, such a submissive deed deserves to be focused on, viewed and wondered at. And since he had to come and die for sinners, how good it is then that we read about Jesus being in the midst. Because that's where we can focus now. Our focus is on the one on the center tree. And he deserves all our attention. He deserves all of our worship. He deserves all of our praise. He deserves all of our thanksgiving. He deserves all that we have. How can we hold anything back from the Lord? When He has given so much, when He has done so much for us. They crucified Him, and two other with Him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And even this morning, as we look with the eye of faith to the one in the center of me, we would say, O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory, Christ the Lord, for He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. The appropriateness of Christ being in the midst, the appearance of Christ in the midst. And in the last place, we have the application of Christ being in the midst. Having considered some of the reasons why we find the Lord Jesus in the midst of Calvary, how then may we apply that to our lives? We know that Jesus Christ died for us. But as we look with the eye of faith to the cross, as we look with the eye of faith to Calvary, and we see the Lord in the midst, how may we apply that to our lives? If Christ is in the midst and He was put there by His enemies, is it not right and proper then that we put Him there in our lives and in our hearts and in all that we do? Does the Lord Jesus not deserve that position? Does the Lord Jesus not deserve to be in the midst? First of all, of our worship. When we gather together in His name, and we gather together in His house, and we gather together to sing His praises, and to preach the Word, and to pray, the Lord Jesus, dear Christian, must be in the midst of our worship. It's a must. We cannot push Him, as it were, over to one side. He must hold that central position in our worship, in our preaching. Our motto must always be, we preach Christ crucified. Must always be that. When we get inquiries about our congregations, people interested to know what kind of a church is the Free Presbyterian Church in North America, we endeavor always to tell them, centered church. We believe Christ. And that's what all of our ministers would tell all inquirers. We're a Christ-preaching church. And may it always be. May it always be that we preach Christ and Him crucified. He must be central. He must be in the midst of our preaching. Every message that is ever preached from this pulpit, Christ must be central. After all, from Genesis to Revelation, the book is all about the Lord. And when you preach from God's word that is all about Christ, how can you not preach Christ? Because he's there everywhere. He must be in the midst of our preaching with regard to our worship. He must be in the midst of our praise with regard to our worship. What do we read in Matthew 21, verse 9? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's what they sang as the Lord Jesus rode in the back of that mule or that donkey rode through Jerusalem. That's what they were singing. Hosanna to the Son of David. Once again, in the praise of the people, Jesus Christ was in the midst. The disciples were there, but they were not singing about the disciples. They were singing about Christ. Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And dear Christian, when we come to God's house, let us sing our hosannas. You know, it's easy for us just to open our hymn book and just read the words and sit down again. That's not the way we ought to praise the Lord. We should be paying attention to the words that we're singing. And I tell you, when you pay attention to the words, words that exalt Christ, then you'll want to praise him. You'll want to sing his praises. Let us always, when we praise the Lord in our worship, praise him with all of our hearts. He must be central in our worship, in our preaching, in our praise, and in our praying. John 15, verse 16. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name. There he is, he's central again. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. If Jesus Christ is given the highest place that heaven affords, then Jesus Christ ought to have the highest place in our lives because he deserves it. He deserves it. He must be in the midst of our worship. He must be in the midst of our work. All that we do, we're to do it for Christ. Whatever that work involves, whether it involves a great work, a heavy duty work as it were, or whether it involves some light thing that's done that nobody knows anything about, we do it for the Lord. Christ must be in the midst of our work. And some things we have to do that we don't like doing, would rather not be called upon to do. But my, the work is made a lot easier whenever we say, I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. He's done so much for me. That makes the work a lot easier. And makes the burden a lot lighter. That's how we apply these words that they crucified the Lord Jesus in the midst. That's how we apply it to our hearts and to our lives. that if he was on the midst there of the hill called Calvary, he must be in the midst of our hearts on his proper throne. That's his throne. Is he on his throne? Is he seated upon the throne of our hearts? Or does something else occupy that place? If it does, it's a sin against God. It's an insult to the Lord. He must be in the midst of our worship. He must be in the midst of our work. And he must be in the midst of our will. Whatever we do, we need to do it according to the will of God. Whatever decision we have to make, it must be made with Jesus Christ in the midst. When I think of that truth, I always think of Lot. You compare the two, Lot and Abraham. Practically everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar. He built an altar to the Lord. In other words, you could say the Lord was in the midst of Abraham's life. On the other hand, you look at Lot. You never read of Lot building an altar. You never read of Lot praying. You never read of Lot sacrificing to the Lord. And when it came to the great division between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, Lot never sought the Lord. He never thought about, well, if I have to leave Abraham, I need to find a place where I can really worship God, and I need to know the Lord's mind on the matter. I need to know what the Lord's will is for my life. But he didn't. The Lord's will never came into his reckoning at all. He looked out upon the plains toward Jordan. So they were well watered. They would be good for his cattle and his herds. He never thought about what would be good for my soul. Lot's will was not the will of the Lord. And we know what happened to Lot. And how he paid for it. Dear Christian, let us always seek the will and the mind of God. Whatever we do, wherever we go, make sure that Christ is in the midst of all that we do and all the places we go. Like one of our ministers was telling me a few weeks ago that a family left his church and went to a state in America, and there's no gospel witness there. And this man and his wife professed to be Christians. And they decided to go to a certain place and thought it would be a good place for job opportunity, etc., etc. There's no witness there. There's no Flea Church there. Where's the Lord's will? Just like Lot didn't seek the will of the mind of God, the Lord was not in the midst. Let the Lord be in the midst, believer. That's how we apply this. How we may apply it to our lives. That Jesus was in the midst of Calvary. And we know why he was there. Let us make sure he's in the midst of our lives too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, Thou hast taught us from Thy word this morning. Thou hast shown us, Lord, Thy proper place in our lives. That, Lord, I must always be in the midst, center, the focus of all that we do, decisions we make, directions that we go. O loving God, have us to crown Thee King of our lives, King of righteousness, King of Salem, King of peace, King of kings. Praise His name. And O Lord, crown Thee as our great King. That, O Lord, we'll recognize that we are Thy subjects. That we are to serve Thee. Nothing less than our all. And that, gracious Lord, we are to obey Thee, Thy word. And carry out Thy commands. For Thou art our King. O Lord, we ask Thee to write Thy word upon our hearts. We pray, Lord, that that's where the Savior will ever be, upon His throne. Lord, bless us as we gather around the table today. It's an appropriate word, Lord, to lead us to the table. And dear Lord, for any who are not able to stay, we pray, Lord, Thy blessing will be upon them as they leave. May Thy blessing be upon us as we tarry. We ask all these things in our Savior's name. Amen.